Hi everyone, welcome to the new team car for the 68th edition of the Fendrien podcast. It's a new car, new job, so new journey, new opportunity to hands-free my way through the podcast. Welcome aboard. It's the first of our Tour de France episodes, and it's been an interesting start to the race, that is for sure. What we won't do is cover today's stage, Wednesday, just in case anyone's hanging on for the 7 p.m. highlights, which kind of we are, to be fair. So it's only fair to start at the beginning, run through in a bit of chronological order. It's been a pretty decent start so far. I actually really liked the presentation, the rider presentation and stuff. I think Dortmund did it, you could argue, probably more low-key than some of the other locations that we've had for recent Grand Departs, but actually thought it was relatively tasteful for a razzmatazz type event where the riders bunny hop their way up onto the stage past people dressed as old-fashioned German people and Kraftwerk. So yeah, it was a good evening. The weather looked fantastic. Ironic that Chris Froome sort of trundled up onto the stage as a giant container lorry went past, or a container barge actually on the Rhine, not a lorry. Hopefully he'll have better turning circle than a barge during the mountain stages. So yeah, it looked quite good, looked excellent, everyone was up for it, happy times. And then the prologue arrived and the rain came down, torrentially, proper torrentially. Don't have that sort of weather even that bad in the Fens. It was proper rainy, proper treacherous, in a city circuit as well. Was always going to lead to potentially one or two accidents. That is exactly what happened. We lost Luke Durbridge. We lost last year's stage winner Yonis Aguirre, who was an outsider really for the top six. Most famously now of all, of course, we lost Alejandro Valverde, who regular listeners of the podcast will know, not particularly a fan of his lack of contrition in the wake of pretty damning evidence that he's been a cheat. There's no reason, obviously, to wish him to fall off and break his leg, just an opinion. It was a pretty bad crash, it looked awful from the angles on the TV. And obviously denied the race of a favourite pretty early on. And of course, denied Quintana a teammate pretty early on. There was lots of controversy about Sky's golf ball skin suiters. There always is controversy about Sky. I heard on another podcast where someone said if Sky changed the design of their cap, it would be a major international incident, which I think is probably fair. They placed really well, Kwiatkowski, Froome, and of course Geraint Thomas, who took the yellow jersey. We then moved on to stage two, with that not being a prologue. It was too long to be classed as a prologue, so it was classed as stage one. We moved on to the Sunday stage. Always find that kind of like a dreamy sort of stage. Everyone's trying to get into it. There was the exciting attack with Taylor Finney and Johanna Fredo, which looked particularly good. And at one point, it actually looked like they might make it, which would have been... I think that would have actually been great for the Tour to have had a breakaway stick in the early days and get all the way through to the finish. It would have, sharpened the focus on the sprinters' minds, that's for sure, and would have got everyone working that a little bit harder to make sure that breakaway doesn't succeed ongoing. But it would have also given the teams that had been in the breakaway who made it a fair amount of heart to try it and try it again. So from that perspective, it would have been good. As it happened, they got caught very, very late on, even as late as sort of 7-8 Ks. The Cannondale DS felt that they might make it, but once the acceleration came, it came quick. And of course, as history will tell, Marcel Kittel romped home. So far, so standard. And a Tour de France that was starting fairly orthodoxly. The stage three, as is now becoming traditional, mini summit finish found its way in. We've had the Mer de Bretagne on recent tours. This one had a twisty little hairpin, but seemed to go past a bizarre-looking block of flats late on. It wasn't particularly as scenic as some of the other finishes that we've had, but it obviously will be famous for the fact that that Peter Sagan managed to romp his way. I think romp's a word that we can use, isn't it? He managed to romp his way to victory, even managing to pull his foot out quite close to the finishing line, but he managed to re-clip in his pedal, almost take a breath to establish what had happened, and then recommence his sprint. And he put some serious distance into, you know, some seriously good hilly sprinters, Greg Van Avermaet and the like, Michael Matthews, who came through to the finish. So, you know, it was a proper decent win from Sagan. People kind of almost noted that Arnaud Démare had stayed, as he, you know, as he's starting to do in hillier finishes, he's starting to look the part. So Démare managed to hold on for a top six finish. Dan Martin was credited as being the best of the GC guys in his you know, top four finish. And there it was, you know, a great start to the tour, and we moved back onto another sprinter stage, which will probably go down as one of the most controversial of recent tour history. The breakaway was absorbed with some ease. And then as we approached the finish, two particularly interesting clashes. There was one where it appeared that Peter Sagan had barged his way through a couple of FDJ riders, which went kind of unnoticed at the time. There was a big crash and the leader came down, and all the favourites took that as their cue to sit up. And then secondarily in the finishing straight, you'll have seen it by now, Sagan comes right and appears to elbow Mark Cavendish, who is taken out not only of the stage, collected in the barriers, but out of the tour and you know, probably, you know, getting on for a season ending injury because it's a broken shoulder. Disappointing, you know, to see. At the time, everyone was pretty angry. I think everyone thought it's difficult because when you look at it at normal speed, it looks a fairly deliberate, you know, move to the right and elbow. The fact Sagan went straight to the Dimension Data bus made it pretty clear that, you know, he knew that maybe, you know, he'd at least deviated off his line. What's got lost in all this is the fact that Démare won the stage but also looked to deviate off his line, which has caused great pain to his perennial rival Bahani. And as the long and short of the result is that Sagan was first relegated down to the end of the stage and docked green jersey points and all of that kind of stuff and time. But then he was also subsequently after an appeal by Dimension Data. And if anyone watched Eurosport last night, you'll have seen a very emotional Roger Hammond giving an interview about how he sees his riders as children and, you know, he didn't want to see his child hurt and all of that kind of stuff. They went on to a secondary appeal, which saw Sagan then excluded from the tour in total, disqualified in total, pending an appeal by his team and so on. So, not an exciting stage, that's for sure, but certainly massive repercussions from Sagan's perspective. No record green jersey. Just an unsavoury incident, really. Cavendish, you know, accepted that Sagan moving off his line, you know, that happened sometime in racing. What he said was he was confused by the use of the elbow, which was a very eloquent way of saying that he thought that was out of order. So, yeah, very interesting, very interestingly poised position for the bike race, to be honest. So there is your brief stage update. We'll obviously have to be more brief next week because we'll have more stages to try and include. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you're happy to keep sharing us via Twitter, Facebook and all the various portals that we use. But in the meantime, there's no more for us to say than enjoy the tour. Vive la tour, and we will speak again. Thank you and goodbye from the show.